The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Check, it's just gone 18 minutes past five. We welcome on the line Rolene Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and also spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation. Rolene, good afternoon to you, and thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to join you. And just before we get into our headlines of the day, it is 9/11. Israelis know too well what it is like to experience a day of horrific infamy. And before we get into the news headlines, I just want to pay tribute to all those who were murdered, those on that horrific Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. In the planes, in the Twin Towers, in the Pentagon, aboard Flight 93, which eventually crashed into a field in Pennsylvania. To the first responders who rushed into the fire, many of them paying with their lives, and many of them today battling cancer and other diseases as a result of being part of the recovery efforts at Ground Zero, and to all who have served in the fight against terror. Today, we bow our heads for you. Today, we honor you.
Indeed, as we continue with that honor and commemoration on this day that took place, wow, that took place 23 years ago. The way time is going, Rolene, let's now also focus on the war on terror in your part of the world, the tunnel where the six hostages were executed. You wanted to look into this.
I think it's important that we keep speaking about it, especially in light of horrific accusations made against Israel by countries like South Africa, and especially as, with the passage of time, people seem to forget what happened on that Black Sabbath, and the hostages, certainly for many outside of Israel, that the memory and the horrific circumstances that they are enduring seems to fade every single day. In Israel, we are still on the 7th of October. In Israel, we are focused on getting our hostages back. Now, of course, there are disputes how that looks, but one thing is for sure, every single Israeli, doesn't matter where you stand in the realms of the protests or how you think this war should proceed, every single Israeli wants our hostages home. Having a look at the tunnel that Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari showed us last night after he had cleared permission with the families and after he had shown it to the security cabinet, and you and I discussed that they were very, very disturbed by what they saw. I must be honest, I was absolutely devastated by what I saw. So if you haven't seen the footage, which is available on the IDF website and IDF social media, I'll describe it to you. The short clip opens up with Rear Admiral Hagari. He is standing in what was a child's bedroom in Rafah. Remember, the whole world said, don't you dare go into Rafah. And on social media, celebrities said all eyes on Rafah, but they seemed to turn a blind eye to what was hidden underground. Mm-hmm. Because it's not what it is above ground, it is what is happening underground, subterranean. And he showed us the very, very narrow tunnel shaft, about 20 meters deep, that he had to go down four ladders. It connected to a tunnel, and this is an adjoining tunnel. So if you look at the tunnel system, or what we call the Gaza Metro, you've got shafts going down and you've got shafts going across. That is, if you're listening from around the world, because I know that there are people from around the world that listen, and South Africans, this is your tax money. This is what your contributions to Gaza have built. And what we know is that the hostages were concealed behind a blast door, a very, very heavy iron blast door. And what was inside was absolutely beyond traumatizing. A very, very small space, Now, Michael, I'm 5 feet tall, and I don't think that I could stand in the tiny space that there was. There were bottles of urine. Oh. We know that the hostages had no ablutions, no toilets. They had no showers. The little bit of drinking water that they had, they washed themselves with that and used the bottles to urinate in to take care of their personal business. There are massive puddles of blood on the floor from where the hostages were executed. You know exactly what you're looking at when you see that. There is some clothing, no lights or anything, a chess game and some notebooks, which we know will be given to the families of the hostages. It is profoundly painful to see this. This is a crime against humanity. Let me just remind people that taking hostages is a crime against humanity. These were not soldiers. These are not prisoners of war. These were people, five of whom were taken, kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival and one from her home in Kibbutz Be'eri Carmel Gat. They were taken into Gaza, crime against humanity, and they were executed. Executed is the term that we use here in Israel. It is the term that their families used, and they were executed, which is a crime against humanity.
Roland, if I can just share some comments coming in, and I certainly concur with, Karen, for example. Karen says, Hamas is pure evil. I haven't watched any videos. Find them very distressing. Horrific situation. Need to do something urgently. And Carol Z says, perhaps being part of a plumbing family for over 90 years, when I hear about the suffering of victims who need the dignity of basic toilet facilities, I feel anger and disgust at these perpetrators. Certainly words I can concur with their ruling. Lord only knows what they suffered with, but our prayer, may their dear souls rest in peace from all of us, Jolene. And whilst you deliver that feedback, that report, we now have the ICC intending warrants of arrest for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, as well as Hamas leaders Yahya Sinwar and Mohammed Diouf. Your take on that?
Well, this is absolutely extraordinary. And the Prime Minister's office hit out with a statement calling it basic anti-Semitism and an absolute moral infringement, and it's politically based with no professional basis in legality. So let's unpack that. The fact that Karim Khan, who is possibly under investigation for not accepting evidence put forward by the opposing side, Karim Khan is the chief prosecutor of the ICC, drawing a moral equivalence between the leader of a democratic country, a sovereign state, and his defense minister, and the head of a terrorist organization who perpetrated the worst crime against humanity against Jewish people since the Holocaust, something that we are still seeing, and uses their own civilians as a human shield. He has asked for proof that Mohammed Diouf, who he also wanted to arrest, he wanted proof that he is dead. And there's lots to unpack here. There's not just the lack of receiving of evidence, but there's also the fact that Israel complies by the laws of complementarity. In other words, we have our own mechanism, the Supreme Court, the judicial system, the military advocate general, that investigates any allegations of human rights abuse. It's a practice carried out by most Western armies. Now, I've had the privilege of speaking to several military experts, some of the military experts part of the high-level military group that have been in Israel several times, have been into Gaza, understand full well the situation. They have responded with their evidence at the ICC. I wonder if that is the evidence that the UK Lawyers for Israel is referring to. But not only that, is that on the day they initially announced the intentions to issue warrants of arrest, the prosecuting team, which was scheduled to board a flight that day to Israel to hear testimony, to review evidence, did not take their flight. So
right.
Do we think this is politically motivated, as the Prime Minister said? Absolutely. Absolutely, this is politically motivated. And it is Israel's belief, and actually the belief of several other countries, that the ICC does not have jurisdiction in Israel because of the laws of complementarity, but also because we are not signatories to the Rome Statute.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this turns out in the coming days and weeks, Roline. But one more minute, can you believe it? So interesting listening to your feedback, the way time goes on the slot. But one more minute left. Of course, another interesting development that took place today, besides, of course, the commemoration of 9/11, was that standoff between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. I'd just like your take on that, as to what you gathered from that and who would be the best bet for Israel.
Well, right now, I mean, I think we have reservations about both candidates, to be honest.
Mm.
Harris certainly seems to vacillate a lot, although she did make compelling points last night. And President Trump, who during his presidency was certainly the best president for Israel, made a startling comment where he said Israel will not exist in 2 years' time if he is not elected. And, former President Trump, we've stood for 76 years, give or take a couple of thousand before then, and I'm sure we will continue to stand. So very, very mixed reactions in Israel. Not a whole lot of confidence for either candidate, I must be honest.
Sure. Well, Karen says we need to fix our broken world. Our hearts are broken. Need to find the light, even just a glimmer. Need everything to return to some kind of normal. Let's pray. That comes from Karen. But Roline, always great chatting to you on the Afternoon Overdrive at this point in time. Thanks once again for joining us on the show. Roline Marks, journalist, reporter, commentator, and spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation.